Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The 9 Supreme Court justices will hear arguments Wednesday in a case involving a teenager suspended from her cheerleading squad. She used profanities on Snapchat while she was at home. Brandy Levy, a freshman on the junior varsity cheering team, she was suspended from the team. She was frustrated. She was off campus one day. She took a photo of herself and a friend, flipping the bird to the camera, and she typed the words at the center of this dispute, F the school, F softball, F cheer, F everything. The sort of thing that you might expect a teenager to sometimes say. She put it on social media. The school said you can't be on cheer now. David Schultz joins us on WGN Radio. He's a constitutional law professor and the author of Constitutional Law for Contemporary America. Now, that's what we need, a read on this. Professor Schultz, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, John. I'm doing well, and I hope you and your listeners are doing well today, too.
We are. Professor of Political Science and Legal Studies at Hamline University. We'll talk more about your book in a second, although it sounds like it's about stuff like this. What's your read on a case like this?
Well, I'm bothered by it, you know, in the sense that the school seems to be wanting to exercise pretty long, I'm going to call it arm, in terms of disciplining people. Now, let's start with a simple situation. If somebody is at school and they violate the rules, you know, I don't know whether it's, you know, swearing or whatever like that. Okay, that's a different story entirely, you know. But we're having a situation where this is a young woman who was not on school time, not on school property, not using school email or anything,
et cetera.
And basically does, you know, well, you know, okay. Yeah. How many of us as adults have gotten that on any given day and said, F work, F this, et cetera, like that? We all probably have. So she has a rant about it, and now the school says, we have the right to be able to discipline you for something that is not connected, where you're at all, not connected to what the school is. That's pretty far reach for the school in terms of what, suppressing free speech.
So it's more important than being on the cheer team. In fact, the next year the girl did make the cheer team. She was suspended for a year. And this is history anyway. She's out of high school as it is. But this really isn't about being on the cheer. Not be like, you can't dismiss this by saying, well, it's not that important if you're a cheerleader or on the basketball team in high school. But it's the principle here, right?
Exactly. It's the principle here. So what if we had a different scenario where, again, it's a student off campus and has not a cheerleader, not connected with school, and basically says, I can't stand my principal, or just says, F the principal, or something like that. Shouldn't a student have, shouldn't any of us have a right to be able to say, you know, the hell with the world, or F this, or F that? I kind of think so.
You're right. I mean, think about that. So if you, and put it in, you know, the most palatable of terms, what if you just said, Mr. Smith, the principal, is not doing a very good job at our high school, and you put that on social media? That's an op-ed. That's a radio talk show. You should be able to do that, even if you are a student in that school, right?
Yes, and past precedent has suggested that students have a constitutional right. There's a famous case from during the Vietnam War that took place in Des Moines, where Mary Beth Tinker and a bunch of friends wore black armbands to school peacefully to protest the Vietnam War. They were suspended, and the Supreme Court overturned it and said, what, the famous line, that the Constitution does not stop at the school doors or something. And so here I'll say the reverse, that schools should not have the authority over people beyond their doors. Here again, they're claiming that Instagram, I think it was, you said, where she posted or something like that,
Snapchat,
I can remember it was now, that they're basically saying they can go after her because of something she posts there. Now, do I think maybe it might have been an occasion for perhaps maybe the school to want to talk to her to say, well, you know, why are you upset or something like that? But the disciplinary action of removing somebody from cheerleading, again, that's the minor issue. The broader issue is, does the school have a right to police our speech beyond school?
I'll ask you what that says about us at work in a second. But so now the Supreme Court is being asked to establish the rules for disciplining student speech in the internet age. The Mahoney Area School District, this is in Pennsylvania, contends that in the modern world of social media and COVID-19 lockdowns, there's no practical difference between student speech that is disruptive at the school itself or speech outside the school. Nobody is in the same place. That you're off campus using your own platform really is the same as being on campus using the hallways of the school, because that's where all the kids are now. Supporting that position are the national associations that represent school boards, administrators, superintendents, and principals. Their attorney says when you're talking about online speech, it really doesn't matter where the student is. What do you make of that, Professor?
That's pretty scary. I mean, to me, there's a little bit of kind of George Orwellian aspect here that says that what? Because those lines have broken down, the government has a right to intrude into our private space. And so I'm sitting at home in my bedroom, and I want to write something and criticize, let's say, the government. I mean, because think about this. This is not just about schools. This is perhaps setting a broader precedent. So I'm sitting in my bedroom, or I'm sitting in front of my, radio or television, and I complain about the government. And now the government comes in and says, listen, the lines between personal space and public space, government, non-government, have all blurred. We have some authority over you now. This is kind of scary stuff, in the sense of again, the school here is exerting pretty broad, in law, what we would call jurisdiction over you. Now, I know you mentioned who's supporting the school district there, but what's also interesting is who's supporting the student. And it's a pretty broad coalition of, I would say, conservative and liberal groups who are very, very scared about what this potentially could mean.
I'm surprised it went all the way to the Supreme Court. You'd think it would be resolved on the way up. I guess that's the essence of the Supreme Court, but doesn't that mean that some of them have agreed with the school? David Schultz, a regular guest on this show, his latest book, he is the author of Constitutional Law for a Contemporary America, which sounds perfectly suited for what we're talking about here. In Pennsylvania, there was a girl who on social media, Snapchat, said, F this, F that. She didn't like the cheer team. She didn't like school. She didn't like the world. She gave her finger to the picture. She had 250 friends online. One of her colleagues on the cheer team, whose mother was the coach, told her mom, who told her mom. Her mom wasn't so upset about her being on cheer or not. She was upset that her daughter was that upset. I think that's the appropriate response for a mom. It's like, what's really bothering you here? But in the meantime, the school said, you're off the team for a year. So she didn't do it on the school property. She didn't do it on the school email server. She didn't use any of their proprietary or digital stuff. But they still kicked her off because that wasn't a very nice way to behave, Missy. So we asked David Schultz a little bit about that. David, how does your book tie into this? Is this the sort of thing that you've been writing about?
It is. The book is kind of an overview on sort of, basic American constitutional law, but also trying to talk about sort of contemporary issues in terms of, free speech, freedom of religion, discrimination law, and so forth like that. So this is actually a topic. We're out of school now. We just finished up school about a week ago, but we actually talked about this case about 2 weeks ago in class, terms of the implications of it. And, and I'm going to say that most of my students were pretty upset by it. There were a few that said, but okay, she's a cheerleader. She's a representative of the school. And therefore the school should have, some ability to be able to do something. But I think most of them were of the line of saying that, that again, private cell phone, as you said, private account, et cetera, like that. It gets kind of scary in terms of the school saying that they get to discipline you. I mean, if anything, one of my students said, well, you know, if the young woman's mother had wanted to discipline her, that's her call to do so. And maybe at some point that is the right answer, that the school's maybe sticking its nose in a place where it ought to be up to the parent to take action.
Some of our listeners are saying things like, as a cheerleader, I believe she represents the school and a code of conduct. And here's another one. I was a cheer coach. The girls signed a contract not to drink and hold their position in regard. And that was before social media. And Joanne wanted to say this. You're on WGN. Hi, Joanne. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have mixed feelings about this, John. Now, she's on social media. So that means Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. You can't go on those kind of sites and say, you wouldn't be able to go on there and say F work and F so-and-so. It's just not right. So I have real mixed emotions about that, because not only did she offend the school, but she offended the sport itself.
Well, let me ask you this, David. Thanks for the call, Joanne. Can I say that about, can my boss fire me if I did that about my employer, David?
Yes, your employer can do that. And there's a critical difference here, is that your employer is not the government. Your employer is not governed by the Bill of Rights and doesn't have to respect your free speech rights. So if tomorrow you said, you know, F the world, you know, or whatever it may be, your employer's free to fire you. But the rules are different when it comes to the government. The First Amendment guarantees a right to free speech, and the government is supposed to be neutral regarding our political views, because if we let the government pick winners and losers, why can't the government say that if you criticize the government and you say, F the president or the hell with the government, they can come after you. And so we're looking at different playing fields or different games here, private employers versus the government.
Joanne, good call. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kim on line 3. You're on WGN. Kim, what do you want to say?
You know, I don't agree with what he's saying at all, because accountability for what you do, your actions, are important. And school teaches life lessons. And so you can do it at school, but you can't do it when you're at work. I don't see the difference there. Kids have to be taught accountability. And yes, the parents should make sure, but no, kids need that accountability. And I can't say it enough. My son's school, they would suspend him.
They would suspend him from school for saying something like that. Is there a distinction in that case, David?
No, there isn't a distinction there. I mean, first off, if a school wants to take a heavy-handed action like this and say, we're going to suspend somebody for this, that might be a little bit of overkill, you know, in the sense of it. In terms of saying, because somebody had a protest and was angry like that, they're going to basically react the way they do. But I want to come back and say what I meant before. For good or for bad, the Constitution treats the government different than it does a private employer or a private school. They have more private schools and private employers
businesses
don't have to respect our free speech rights. The government does. And that's what's at issue in this case here. And what's even more at issue here is the fact that she is doing it in her own private time. What if now the next step is she doesn't have her cheerleading outfit on, and it's not a cheerleader, and it's just a student that now says, as you said before, F the school, and the school says, well, this is potentially disruptive. Now, are we going to let the school say, we can now discipline you for non-school-related action? Some of your listeners are saying yes. I don't know. I'm scared about that idea of giving the government that much control over what I say and that much control over what I say in my private time.
Right. That's an interesting point. Imagine you're the parent, you get a call and they say, listen, this is the principal. We're suspending your daughter or son from school for a couple of weeks or the year, whatever. And you say, why? And they said, well, we saw on Snapchat or Facebook or wherever that they said they don't like school and they dropped an F-bomb on that platform. you might not like the fact that your kid did that, but really? You're going to kick my kid off of school because of that? Not only does that sound heavy-handed, do you even have the right to do that at all? That's a problem for me and my kid. Is it sufficiently disruptive of the school? How did that keep a teacher from teaching or a school from functioning? I think that's an interesting question, David. But Catherine wants to point something out, which I'm glad she called. Catherine, you're on WGN, and what's your thought about this?
Hey. When an athlete joins a team, they sign a code of conduct, and there are certain things that they are not supposed to do or the way they're supposed to behave, because yeah. athletes on some level are held to a different standard. And so I get the idea of free speech. I get all that stuff. But if she signed a code of conduct contract in order to be on the sports team, then she's violated the code of conduct. And then I need some clarification. I thought that she was suspended after the posts, but I thought I heard just now, like in the last clip, that was she suspended beforehand for something else?
No. It was after the post, and then they found out about it, then they kicked her off the team.
Because here's the thing. You have academic standards. If you fall below a C, you can't be on a team. If you are caught drinking, you can't be whatever. If you remember, this is a little bit stronger of a case, but Evanston Township High School and I believe New Trier, they were sharing pictures from the baseball team and sexting and stuff, and a lot of people got suspended, and the season was shut down. Now, sexting is really different than using the F-bomb and, you know, the middle finger. However, to sign a code of conduct, does that mean that her word and her vow and her choice is she can throw it out the window because she wants to say F you?
No, hold on a second. Let's let David respond. You got a lot there, but I think those are interesting points. Particularly, don't we ask this of athletes all the time, David Schultz?
Well, yeah, but the athletes and all the things that the woman just ticked off there are what? Things that are illegal anyhow that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to be drinking as a minor. Also, I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with a school saying that you have to maintain academic standards to be on it. That's pretty clear. Sexting in most jurisdictions is still illegal for minors. And so none of that is would be impermissible. The question here is whether or not we can now ask somebody to say, as a condition of participating in school activities, you have to basically what? Sign away your constitutional rights. What if it's not cheerleading? What if it's a member of what? I don't know, the Key Club. What if it's a member of I don't know, the Science Club or something like that? Does the school now get to say that because you're participating in school activities, that we have that kind of ability to be able to discipline you? I mean, I understand what the woman's saying. I was an athlete in high school too. But there are limits in terms of what we should allow the government to do, including schools. And conversely, I also want to say here is that I find this objectionable because why? It is the government sticking its nose into a family matter.
Yeah.
It's the government basically telling parents how they have to raise their kids or what they have to do. And I think parents ought to be very upset by that idea.
Thank you all for your calls. By the way, Clarence Thomas, who's one of the more conservative justices on the Supreme Court, says he doesn't think students have the same sort of constitutional rights, presumably as minors, that the rest of us do. We will see what they say on Wednesday, and maybe we'll reconnect with you, David, sometime later this week or next. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect.
In the meantime, I want everybody, here's your homework. I want you, can we get this on Amazon or online, David, your latest book, Constitutional Law for Contemporary America?
It's on Amazon, easy to find.
Constitutional Law for Contemporary America. Maria and Denise and everybody, thanks for your calls. By the way, Maria wants to point out that our own mayor said F you to President Trump. They didn't throw her in jail. But again, I suppose that's a different set of circumstances, as you pointed out. Or maybe it's the very same thing. If she gets to say that to the president, then a student ought to be able to say that to the world as well. All right, David, let's talk again this week or next. I appreciate your time, sir.
Sure. Bye.